All right, part of the chapter I want to focus on today is there in verse 16 through 22 where the Bible reads, "As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done, and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil." And then go down to verse 22, "So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with boldness and the Holy Spirit right now, God. I pray that you would take my nerves out of the way, help you to get all the glory, Lord, and that I could help edify the church tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The top of my sermon tonight is God's wrath on the Catholic whore. God's wrath on the Catholic whore. Here in Jeremiah chapter 44, we get a lot of attributes of why God's wrath was on Israel at this time. They were provoking God to anger and to his fury because of the idols that they were worshiping, because of the incense that they were burning to false gods, because they were baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven and worshiping the Queen of Heaven. The Bible says there that God's could no longer bear because of their evil, because of their abominations. And today, you know, the Catholic Church very, you know, lines up with how the Jews were at this time. And the reason I preach this sermon is because I've had the Catholic Church a lot on my brain lately since the Pope recently denied the existence of hell. You know, Pope Francis said this, in regards to those who die in a state of mortal sin, Pope Francis said this, "They are not punished. Those who repent obtain God's forgiveness and take their place among the ranks of those who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot be forgiven disappear. A hell does not exist. The disappearance of sinning souls exists." And you know, I always knew that the Catholic Church was a wicked religion. I always knew that the Catholic Church was a false religion. But I never knew that the Catholic Church would become so low as to deny the existence of hell. As if the doctrine of purgatory was bad enough, now the Pope wants to outright deny the existence of hell. Why do I call them a whore? Just because, like, a literal whore sells her body on the street corner for money? The Catholic Church, since the beginning of its foundation, has been a wicked, bloody, pagan, lie-spewing, soul-damning religion that sold itself for filthy lucre. It's the whore of all religions today, the Catholic Church. Go to Jude chapter 1. Only chapter in Jude. Jude, book right before Revelation. It says, "Beloved," in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You say, I don't think you should be preaching against other religions. I think you should leave the Catholics alone and just preach Jesus. Just preach the gospel. The Bible says we need to earnestly contend for the faith. And when the biggest false prophet in the world denies hell, there's hundreds of millions of souls that are at stake. Hundreds of millions of souls that are at stake. And today, Christians need to stop being so weak and contend for the faith again. Christians need to preach the Bible, not just the gospel, but also preach against false religion and also earnestly contend for the faith, both for Jesus and against false prophets. God commands preachers to preach the word. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many and vain and unruly talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." So you know what? Preachers aren't just supposed to preach everything sweetness and light, and every sermon's supposed to make you feel good. You know what? There's some people in this world whose mouths need to be stopped. And this mother whore Catholic Church and Pope Francis' mouth needs to be stopped. And we're going to stop it with the Word of God. We're going to stop it with we're going to fight this evil religion with the sword of the Spirit. And it would be literally impossible to preach in one sermon everything that's wrong with the Catholic Church. It would literally be impossible. So tonight, I just want to take the sword of the Spirit and stop the mouth of this evil religion as much as I can. Number one, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Why is God's wrath today on the Catholic whore? Number one, because of the blasphemy of the papacy. Now, the papacy is basically the office of the Pope. You have the President of the United States, he's in the presidency. The office of the Pope is one of the most blasphemous positions on planet Earth. Catholicism teaches, look there at Matthew 16, verse 13. Catholicism teaches that Jesus Christ made Peter the first pope. Well, let's look at it there. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some of them say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, there it is, folks. Do you see the first pope being ordained right there? Do you see Jesus Christ making Peter the first pope of the Catholic Church? No, it's not there. But they like to just rip this verse out of context and teach that. But what's this whole passage about? It's about who Jesus Christ is. He asked him, who do they say that I am? Some Elias, some Jeremiah, some one of the other prophets, some John the Baptist. But who do you say that I am? The Son of God. He's the rock. He's the cornerstone. And he says, upon this rock will I build my church. What he means by that is upon this rock, upon Jesus Christ, upon the chief cornerstone, that's where his church is going to be built. Not upon Peter. You know, he said, "Hey, you're right, Peter. I'm the Son of God. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." That's all he's saying. You know, Jesus never established the papacy. It's nowhere in the Bible. It's a total lie. But Catholicism today teaches that Jesus made Peter head of the church, and that in succession of Peter, every pope has ever been has been head of the church. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, what kind of a blasphemous thing is it is to take Jesus' role as head of the church and say, "No, I, the Pope, am head of the church." You think God is pleased with that? You think it blows my mind how they could take the name Christian and they have taken the very head of the church from the Lord Jesus Christ. That should make you mad. That is something that is so blasphemous, it's unbelievable. And the Pope today claims to be equivalent in authority and equivalent in position as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Catholics believe that the Pope is the manifestation of God on earth. This is what Catholic.com says about the power of the Pope. Catholic.com. Just so you know, I'm not just making this up, okay? Peter, and listen carefully to this. This is what they say the office of the papacy is. "Peter and his successors have power to impose laws, both preceptive and prohibitive, power likewise to grant dispensation from these laws, and when needful, to annul them. It is theirs to judge offenses against the laws and to impose and to remit penalties. This judicial authority will even include the power to pardon sin." The Catholic Church has just said, "Hey, the Pope has power to create laws, to end laws, to enforce them how he wants to annul them how he wants to. I thought there was one lawgiver. I thought Jesus Christ was the lawgiver. I thought in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I thought the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." But the Catholic Church says that the Pope can speak words, and that is better than God's Word. And that he can change God's word, and he can enforce God's word how he wants to, and disannul God's word whenever he wants to. Which is why, apparently, Catholics believe that the Pope must have just quenched the flames of hell last week when he said that there's no hell. Yeah. I guess the Pope, just by his power, can just quench the flames of hell by his mouth. How much power do you think man could have? You think man could have that much power? No. It's a wicked lie, and the Pope is the biggest false prophet on this earth, and he needs to go to hell, and that's where he will go. That is where he will go. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, there in verse 43, the Bible reads, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." Whose name is that talking about? Jesus Christ. Is it talking about Pope Francis? I don't remember any of the prophets giving witness that some South American, lisping, dress-wearing faggot would ever get the power to pardon sin. That was never preached by any of the prophets in the Bible. But yet this man stands up and says, "I'm God," basically. You know, you say, wow, you know, there's lots of false prophets out there. You think of Joel Osteen. He's got a church of 52,000 people. That's a big church, right? You know, does anyone have the numbers for our attendance this morning? Justin, what is it?
71.
So we're a new church. We have 71 in attendance this morning. Joel Osteen has a church of 52,000 people. That's a big church, right? And he preaches a false gospel, and he's a false prophet for sure. You say, well, Billy Graham's a bigger false prophet than the Pope. You know, before he died and went to hell, he preached to 210 million people on this earth. That's a lot of people. But the Pope has 1.2 billion people on this earth that believe he's God, that believe he is the earthly representation of God. So who's the bigger false prophet? The Pope. The Pope is the biggest false prophet on this earth right now. Are you starting to see why we need more preaching against this religion?
Yeah. Yeah.
And why more churches need to be stop being afraid of offending the people in their congregation and actually love them enough to say, no, that's not Christianity. That place is a den of iniquity. They're preaching doctrines of devils. You know, they may have a beautiful building with stained glass, and it may smell nice when the incense that walks in. But every person that believes the Catholic doctrine of salvation is going to be in hell forever. Why don't pastors have the love to tell people that today? There needs to be more preaching against this religion. The very name Pope itself is blasphemous. You know, some of the titles, turn to Matthew chapter 23. Some of the titles for Pope, he goes by, of course, Pope, Holy Father, Vicar of Christ. These are all completely blasphemous titles that no man should ever have. Holy Father, you know, the Vicar of Christ, it just means representation of Christ. That he basically is the modern day of Jesus Christ. That's what Vicar of Christ means. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Now, doesn't that sound like the Catholic Church? Walking around in their long robes and their big funny hats, wearing a dress, enlarging the borders of their garments. Verse 6, "And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." There's one that is our father in heaven. The Catholic Pope is not father. He calls himself Holy Father. You know, he's loved by the world. He has like the biggest approval rating of more than any politician. You know, Barack Obama calls him Holy Father. You know, all of the senators call him Holy Father. But Jesus said not to be called Father. So how can you call yourself a Christian? How can you call yourself a Bible believer when Jesus Christ himself said, call no man Father, and you're going to call the head of your religion Father? It's unbelievable how every single thing that the Catholic Church teaches is in direct opposition to the Bible. It's not an accident. It's not like one of those religions where they're twisting things a little bit. They just flat out do the opposite of what the Bible says. And this reminds me, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What the Pope has done reminds me of what the Antichrist is going to do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's a chapter about the coming of the Antichrist and the things that have to happen before the rapture. And start there in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And you know, this is talking about the Antichrist, but in 2 John, the Bible talks about how there's many Antichrists already entered into the world. There's going to be many Antichrists before the Antichrist has come, and one of those is most definitely the Pope. Why? Because he's not even the Antichrist, yet he does exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the Roman Vatican of the devil, showing himself that he is God. He's not sitting in the temple of God, he's sitting in the temple of demons, but he is basically calling himself God by taking on the title Holy Father. And just any person that allows themselves to be called Father, that allows themselves to be called Pope, that allows themselves to be called Vicar of Christ, any person that would allow that kind of title on them is already a reprobate. There's no way that anybody who is just your normal unsaved person would allow themselves to be called the title of God unless you are already twice dead, unless you are already plucked up by the roots, unless you've already been given over to a reprobate mind. The Pope is not the Holy Father. He's an Antichrist is who he is. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. When I first learned about the Catholic Church and I learned about, you know, the Pope and bishops and all their cardinals and how the priests and how that they took on the title Father, when I started reading my Bible, it reminded me of Isaiah 14, of the fall of Satan, of Satan's sin. They committed the same sin that Satan has, starting in verse 12. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who is Satan, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And the most paradoxical thing about this Pope, Pope Francis, is that if you watch news articles about him, read news articles about him and watch news coverage about him, they say that he's one of the most humble men. They say, this is a new kind of Pope. He's a Pope of the people. He's a humble guy because he doesn't sign his name, P.P. Francis. He signs it just Francis. Oh, wow. He's just a normal guy. He signs his name Francis, and he just wants to spend time with the children and kiss babies, and they show pictures of his apartment. He lives in a humble apartment and drives a humble little car, and he's just a normal guy. He lets people sit in his seat. You know what? No, he's lifted himself up above God. He says that he has the power to grant laws. He says he has the power to make dispensations to annul those laws, to forgive sins. Just like Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High, the Pope said the same thing. And the Pope is the most prideful person alive in this world today. It's not Donald Trump. He is definitely one of them. But the Pope is more prideful even than Donald Trump. And you know what? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. And this Pope is not a godly man. He's not, you know, everyone just cries and screams when the Pope drives by thinking that they're seeing this most godly man in the world. He's an abomination to the Lord. The Lord looks at him and hates him with perfect hatred. The Lord is going to burn him in hell for eternity, whether the Pope wants to try to extinguish hell by his words or not. That's where he's going. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because Catholicism teaches that the Pope and his bishops are needed to be the mediator between them and God to forgive their sins. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, while you turn there, I'll read for you John 14, 16. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how do you get to God the Father? By Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll ever get to God the Father. But the Catholic Church says, through the priest, through the Pope, through the bishop. You're there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's your mediator. There's one mediator and it's Jesus Christ to God the Father. And I really do feel bad for the people that are deceived in this religion. I really do feel bad for people that actually think that this is their way to heaven. Because think about the mental torture it would be to every week of your life have to go confess your sins to a priest. And you think, I know I'm a sinner. Am I the only one that's a sinner in here? I wouldn't want to confess my sins. all the, you know, just the worst things that you've ever done, you have to give every single detail to the priest. The priest demands that you tell them all of it. You know, I don't want to do that. I feel bad for the mental torture that these people are in. You know, I feel bad that these people carry around the guilt and the fear of their whole life, knowing that those things that were too shameful for them to be able to confess to the priest, the things that they've done that were too sinful that they can't tell anybody, that they believe that if they died at any moment without confessing those sins, that they would be in hell themselves. That's a sad thing, that you have to confess every detail of your life to a priest every time you sin or you're in constant fear of hell. I'm glad that I'm not in fear of hell ever. Even when I sin, I confess my sins to God so that I could be in fellowship with God, so that I can, you know, get his blessing on my life. But I know that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, when he burned in hell for us, when he took our punishment for us, and when he rose again for us, I know that he paid all of my sins. Past, present, and future, every time I make a mistake, which is every single day, I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear that if I don't go confess it to man, that I'm going to go to hell. You know, I feel bad for these people, and I don't hate Catholics. I love Catholics, you know, but they're in bondage, and we got to preach them the gospel. Yesterday, I asked a Catholic woman, I said, hey, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd be going to heaven? And she goes, I don't know, I'm working on it. I was like, well, can I ask what you think it takes for a person to get to heaven? And she goes, not sin. And I said, well, that's pretty hard. How are you doing with that? You know, you're not going to ever be able to do that, but that's the state of a Catholic. That's how they live their life. That's sad. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to live in a constant state of fear that I'll be damned for my sins. You know, God doesn't want us to sin, but if we do, we have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we confess our sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the true freedom of God. And you'll notice that the Catholic Church is doing damage control big time on the Pope's statement, because that's their control on their people. Is that if you don't confess your sins, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you're going to go to hell or purgatory, you know? But they're freaking out because they don't want to lose that power. Because why do Catholics go to church? It's not because they want to hear Latin all day. It's because they're afraid to go to hell, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, you know? When you confess your sins to man, they're always going to remember the things that you told them. But thank God, when you confess your sins to God, he doesn't even remember them. He's forgiven you, and he doesn't even remember the things that you did. And he can continue to bless your life. And by the way, that's the same forgiveness that we should have for each other. When we mess up, we should not even remember the things that we did to each other. We should forgive each other in our heart and move on and have real love for each other like the real love that God has for us. Why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because not only has the Pope and his satanic bishops and his satanic, you know, cardinals taken upon themselves the power of God, they've taken the position of God, they've taken the very holy priesthood of God. They've taken the very high priesthood of God away from him and said that it belongs to them. And that is blasphemy. And that's why God's wrath is on the Catholic whore. You said, no, the Catholic Church believes in Jesus, though. Yes, but it's a different Jesus, my friend. It's a different God the Father. The Pope is their father. It's a different Holy Spirit. It's an unholy spirit. And it doesn't matter if they're carrying around a Bible. It doesn't matter if they have a cross hanging from their neck. They have a different gospel. They have a different gospel. They're going to burn in hell. You say, no, 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 they cast out demons. How can they cast out demons if they have another Jesus? Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's another Jesus. And the people need to be warned about this. Pastors in America need to love their people enough and love the loss of this world enough to say, that is not going to get you to heaven. Going to the Catholic Church, it's going to take you to hell, whether the Pope says so or not. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Hey, it's great that my high priest, when I go and confess my sins to him, he was tempted in all points like I am, but he never sinned. But yet the Catholic priest that you're confessing your sins to is a sinner just like you, except way worse. Way worse. No one in here, I would guess, is as wicked as a Catholic priest. Honestly. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's the thing. You have to commit a sin even to become a Catholic priest. You have to commit a sin even to become a bishop or a cardinal or a pope. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy, we'll get to that in a second. 1 Timothy 4:13, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. So there's doctrines of devils that people are going to be preaching in the last times, and they're going to be lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What are they? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So here's the thing. To become a Catholic priest, you have to commit a sin just to become a Catholic priest. Because why? It's a doctrine of devil to command abstaining from marriage. And what does the Catholic Church say? In order to be in a position of leadership, you have to swear an oath of celibacy, saying that you'll never be married. So just right there, you commit a sin just getting into that role. And you have people coming to you confessing their sins. They should be confessing their sins for even listening to people confess their sins. That's a sin, okay? Titus chapter 1, verse 5 says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. So the Bible says, hey, to even be a bishop, to even be a pastor, to even be an elder, you have to be the husband of one wife, okay? You have to have faithful children. It means you have to have more than one children that can be old enough to be counted faithful. Yet the Catholic Church, just like, you know, the Bible says, don't disfigure your face when you fast, and they put a cross of ash on their head. Just like when they say, call no man father, they call their leaders father. Just like the Bible says, use not vain repetitions when you pray, the Catholic Church repeats their prayers. Just like the Catholic Church denies everything that the Bible says. Well, the Bible says you have to be married and have faithful children to be in position of leadership in the church, in a ordained position in the church. And they say, no, you have to do the opposite. And that's why it's a doctrine of devils. That's why the Catholic Church is controlled by Satan. That it's not a Christian religion. It's a satanic religion. It's a pagan religion. It's the same religion in Jeremiah 44 when they're worshiping the Queen of Heaven. It's the same religion during the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 6 when they're working their way to heaven. It's just a continuation of the same false religion that's always existed since mankind was created. Why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because its leadership harbors a den of adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, and pedophiles. The people that are in these positions of leadership, when they have to be swearing an oath of celibacy, it just attracts perverts that want to listen to people's sexual sins being confessed to them all day. They want to hear teenage girls and teenage boys telling them in detail what they do, and listening to the husband and listening to the wife tell in detail of their adultery. And they just want to fill their mind with this stuff all day long. And this is not debatable. The Catholic Church is filled with pedophilia. The Catholic Church is the biggest den of child rapists that has ever existed in this planet. You could talk about Pizzagate all day long, but how about the Catholic Church down the street that's raping children? You know, yeah, there's weird stuff going on as well, but every Catholic priest is either now or on their way to becoming a pedophile, to becoming a faggot, becoming a reprobate. Is this really any surprise to us when Pope Francis said in 2016, this is what he said, I will also repeat what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, that gay people, the Bible doesn't call them gay, by the way, gay just means happy and joyful. The Bible calls them beasts. The Bible calls them reprobates. The Bible calls them twice dead. But he says, gay people should not be discriminated against, that they have to be respected, pastorally accompanied, The matter is, a person that has that condition, what did they catch? A cold? You know? Is being a faggot like catching a cold now? They've caught AIDS, they have that condition. The matter is, a person that has that condition and that has goodwill because they search for God, who are we to judge them? The culture has changed, and thank God, the Pope explained. Christians, we must say we are sorry many times, not only on this. And you know what? The culture may have changed. America may have changed. Our fundamental Baptist brethren may have changed, but God never changes. Who cares what the Pope says we should think about sodomites? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, the Bible said that I am Lord, I change not. Okay, so who cares what the Pope says? Who cares what you think about sodomites? Who cares what I think about sodomites? Does anyone in this world care what God thinks anymore? Does anyone in this world care anymore what the Bible says about sodomites? No. The sad answer is no. People want to listen to the Pope's opinion. People want to listen to pastors tell them what they think God thinks and what they think in their own hearts. But the Bible tells us what God thinks. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. They shouldn't be judged. They should be accepted. They should be pastorally accompanied. While you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll read for you Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. This is what God thinks. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. You say, oh, I just love God so much. Well, do you love His word? Do you love what God said should happen to sodomites? Or are you just a fool that trusts in your own heart? Because God's perfect law and God's perfect word was that sodomites should be stoned to death. Was that people, you know, instead of the cops getting called on us for soul winning, every time we see a homosexual, we should be able to call the cops. The cops should come there, arrest them, try them, and if found guilty, they should be stoned in public. That's what the Bible says. See, I've never heard anything like that before. Well, in the words of Sebastian, now you have. Okay? Now you have, because that's what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spare not the angels that sinned. And by the way, 2 Peter is in the New Testament, is it not? You say, Leviticus is in the Old Testament. God doesn't feel that way anymore. Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 says in verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Let me ask you, are we living in a time after God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they're full of faggots. Because they were full of homosexuals, because they were full of child rapists and pedophiles, and God burned them alive with fire from heaven. That's how God feels about it. You say, that's the Old Testament. Well, God tells us that it's an example to those that after should live ungodly. Those that after should live in the same lifestyle. God thinks that they should be burned with fire, apparently, in the New Testament. But most churches are too afraid to preach that today. You know, the culture may have changed, but God's word, thank God, never changes. And you know what? I'm glad that we can anchor our soul to the rock that can't be moved, to the word of God, to Jesus Christ, the rock. And you know, recently, we finally got labeled as an official hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which means nothing. A bunch of just liberal lawyers that want to get together and just call us a hate group. But they officially called us a hate group. But I'll tell you who's hateful. Anyone who doesn't like what I just said is hateful towards God. Because they think God's mean, and so they hate God. You know, the SPLC hates God, hates us. We're not the hateful ones, because God, well, it's hatred, but it's perfect hatred, because it's God's hatred. So yeah, I hate homosexuals, because God hates homosexuals, but they have a fake love. They don't love anyone. And if preachers today really loved America, and really loved their people and their congregation, and really loved the lost world, then they would preach what God says. Because God is love, and God is the Word. So apparently, it's Leviticus 20:13 is loving. Apparently, 2 Peter chapter 2 is loving. I said, well, aren't you afraid? You know, maybe some people even here might be afraid to come to this church now because we're a hate group. But you know what? We ought not to be afraid of them that could kill the body, but rather fear Him which is able to cast both soul and body in hell. okay? And obviously, we don't have to be afraid of hell if you're saved, but I'm more afraid of what God thinks of me if I don't preach the truth of God's word. I'm more afraid of God's judgment on our church if we once had our candlestick shining bright, preaching the full counsel of God, and then we stop. I'm more afraid of that judgment. I'm more afraid if we let that politician across the street scare us, or the SBLC scare us, than I'm afraid to preach that homos should be put to death. Or that I am to say that the Pope is going to burn eternally in hell. Or that the Catholic Church is a wicked, demonic religion. I'm not afraid to say any of those things. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay? If God be for us, who can be against us anyways? If we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're winning souls every week of our life, if we're obeying Him to preach the full counsel of God, who can be against us anyways? The worst thing you could even do to us is kill us and send us straight to heaven. There's nothing to be afraid of. Why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because the papacy steals God's name, His position, His power, His priesthood. Why is God's wrath on the Catholic Church today? Because 1.2 billion souls are being deceived into a soul-damning lie that you have to work your way to heaven. Why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because the papacy and its branches has compromised themselves and allowed faggots, pedophiles, homos, and perverts to fill their leadership. That's why God's wrath is on the Catholic whore today. Number two. So number one, the papacy. Number two, the Catholic whore's idolatry. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, it's the chapter where we find the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, I'll just read the first few commandments there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. So the Catholic whore, if you didn't know, has removed that second commandment in the Ten Commandments from the Word of God. When you go to Catholic.com and you look up the Ten Commandments, what you'll find is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and then it'll go straight to, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They completely removed the second commandment not to make any graven image. Why? Because the Catholic Church is a church that's steeped in idolatry. Because it's a Babylonian pagan religion, like I said, that found its founding in Genesis chapter 6 in the Tower of Babel, and has continued since then to serve idols, to burn incense to other gods, just like they did in Jeremiah 44. Making their cakes to the Queen of Heaven. That's what the Catholic Church is today. We say, well, if they take a commandment out of the Ten Commandments, do they just say that there's nine commandments? Well, what they actually do is really deceptive. They just take the last commandment and they make it two commandments. So go to verse 17 of chapter 20. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And that commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Okay? It's saying, don't covet your neighbor's house, your wife, your neighbor's wife, his ox, his ass, his manservant. Don't covet anything else. You know, if you wanted to separate all those, then that would be like five or six commandments, right? But they just say two. They say, don't covet, and don't covet your neighbor's wife. That's how deceptive they are, is they just take that and turn it into two commandments, okay? Back to Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. And of course, the Catholic Church doesn't use the King James Bible. They use the NIV or what other? Do they use just the NIV or do they use other versions as well? Does anyone know?
Catholics have their own Bible.
Their own Bible? What's it called?
Yeah, I think it's just called the Catholic.
The Catholic Bible, okay. And I've known lots of Catholics as well that read the NIV. And the NIV has a lot of Catholic doctrine in it. But there in Jeremiah 44, verse 3. Let's see. Let me turn there myself. 44, verse 3. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I send unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Verse 6, wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth. You know, it's really sad that the Catholic Church is causing all of its adherents to have God's wrath and his anger on them, abiding on them. Because it makes God furious and it makes God angry when you bow down, you burn incense, and you worship other gods. But the Catholic Church teaches you to bow down to a statue and to pray to it. And the Bible says that that's another God. So Catholics, you know, poor, unbeknownst to themselves, the poor souls that do it are praying to demons. You know, no wonder the Catholic Church is so good at casting out demons. They have a lot of experience with them. They're praying to them every day of their life. You know, when they're praying to Mary, they're praying to a demon. When they're praying to the saints, they're praying to a demon. And demons are real. They're there. And they're more than happy to possess that person. They're more than happy to cause that person to believe soul-damning lies and take them down to hell where they're going to be someday as well, according to Jude and 2 Peter. Catholic Church makes an idol out of Mary and says that Mary is sinless. Go to John chapter 1. So the Pope will say, when he's referring to Mary, he'll say, "Oh, Mother of God." The thing is that Mary is not the Mother of God. That is a lie. John chapter 1, verse 1, we all know it. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible says that the Word of God created all things. Now, was Mary created? Yeah, so Jesus Christ created Mary. So she's not His mother. Yes, she's the one that gave birth to Him physically. Yes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and she's His physical mother. But really, she's not His mother. You know, really, He begat her. Really, He created her, so that's impossible. And they say that Mary's sinless. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to prove to you that Mary was not sinless. Verse 46 says there, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now we know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And this is a great verse also to prove that Jesus is God, because she said, "My soul," or "my spirit, hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now why would she call God her Savior if she was not a sinner? You know, the reason why I have a Savior is because I needed to get saved from something, right? I needed to get saved from hell. So Jesus is my Savior because He died for my sins. Okay, well, He died also for Mary's sins. Mary was not, and the thing is, I feel bad for Mary because Mary was a godly woman. Yeah. I look forward to meeting Mary in heaven. You know, God looked down, and when He was looking for a vessel of where to place the Lord Jesus Christ, He chose Mary. That's an amazing thing. You know, she must have been doing something right in her life if God chose her for that. But the thing is, I kind of feel bad for her because we have to preach so much saying, Mary's not God. She's not a goddess. She's not sinless. She was a sinner. We have to like preach this all the time. But it's like, I feel bad for her because she's probably slamming her head against the wall when people are praying to her. You know, it's like, she doesn't want that. I feel bad for her. Well, don't you guys? I look forward to meeting her in heaven and saying, "Man, I'm sorry that so many idiots had to pray to you all the time." Not that Mary necessarily can hear their prayers. Obviously she can. But it's just weird. It's just weird how they think that a woman, a sinner, is somehow deity. I don't understand it at all. Go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2 gives us Mary's advice to the Catholic Church today. You want to lift up Mary so much. You want to call her the Mother of God, the great goddess Mary, you know, all of these great titles for Mary. Well, Mary has some advice for the Catholic Church today. In John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her," let's see how, you know, overly praise that Jesus is giving Mary. He says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Does that sound like he's like praising Mary as if she's a deity? "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And I just imagine Mary like, okay, I just got roasted by Jesus. You know, she's like, Whatever he says, just do it. Okay? That's Mary's attitude. You know, she had a godly attitude saying, whatever Jesus commands, do it. Whatever the Word of God commands, do it. You know, Jesus Christ is the Word, and she says, whatever God says, do it. Not whatever the Pope says when he says, oh, I now have power to change God's Word. I now have power to add to God's Word. I've now have power to annul. No, she would not say, do whatever the Pope says. Today, she would say, do whatever Jesus says. That's what Catholics need to be taught today. Luke 11, 27, I'll read for you. You know, there's an instance in the Bible where someone, you know, it was like the first Catholic in the Bible, where they came up to Mary and they started like praising her. In Luke 27, it says, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now, to me, that's just weird. It's like a weird thing to say to a woman. What? It's just weird. Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus rebuked that person for trying to give too much praise to Mary. You know, he's like, no, not blessed are the paps that gave me suck. Blessed is the man that hear the word of God and do it. Weirdo, you know, I don't get it. But they don't only do this to Mary, they do this to other saints, okay? And the Bible teaches that a saint is just a believer, just a Christian. We're all saints. We're all made kings and priests with Jesus Christ, okay? But they do this to other saints. They pray to saints. But Isaiah 42:8, I'll read it for you, says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You know, God's a jealous God, and he's not going to give his glory to these stupid, dumb idols. And the Bible calls them dumb idols. Why? Because they can't speak, they can't talk, they can't understand, they can't pay for your sins, they can't do anything. They're fashion of men's hands. They're nothing. The idol in the world is nothing. But Catholics pray and they worship these idols. But God says, I am the Lord, that's my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And you know what? The Catholic Church can say that they believe in God all they want, but they're not giving any glory to God. They're giving their glory to demons. They're praising, praying, and lifting up devils. And we hear a lot of preaching today against figurative idolatry, about how Americans are making an idol out of pro sports, and that's true. You know, that kind of stuff needs to be preached, or how people make idols out of their families even, or out of their gun hobbies, or out of whatever hobbies they have. You know, you can make an idol out of just about anything, but we cannot forget to preach that God hates literal idolatry. God hates literally when you make a graven image and you set it up and you pray to it. God hates that. Because our God's a consuming fire. Our God's name, his very name is jealous, the Bible says. And he's not going to give his glory to another ever. So why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Well, because of the papacy and the blasphemy that is in the leadership of the Catholic Church. Why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because it gives its glory to devils and to demons by praying to statues and idols and not to the living God. And number three, why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore today? Because of the Catholic's whore doctrine on salvation. You know, as if the Catholic's doctrine of purgatory was not bad enough, now the Catholic Church wants to deny hell. And like I said before, they're scrambling for that now. Now they're telling the Pope to straight up deny that interview ever took place, and that's what the Pope did. And, of course, the Pope's a liar, okay? But they're scrambling. They're trying to retract this statement because it's the power that they have over their people. Fear of hell is why Catholics go to Mass. Fear of hell is why Catholics fast. Fear of hell is why Catholics take communion and why Catholics do Lent and why they do Ash Wednesday. It's not because they just think that they want to. It's because they're afraid of hell. And so that's why they confess their sins to the priest. Who would do that, you know, just of their own will? That doesn't sound fun. But, you know, they think that they could lose. They're thinking that they're going to lose their power if people believe that. So they're taking that back. But turn to Revelation 14 just to prove to you, just to make sure everyone in here knows that hell is real. That hell is a literal place. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receiveth the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And let me tell you something. This verse is the end for the Pope. This verse is Pope Francis's end for all eternity. This verse is the every Catholic bishop, every cardinal, every priest that has ever existed. That is their end. Revelation 14, verse 9 through 11 there. That is the end of the Catholic Church, is hell, okay? And even if a Catholic believed in the doctrine of hell, even if they believed that, even if they believed in purgatory and that there's some sort of punishment for their sin, they still will go to hell because they don't believe right on salvation. And this is the most wicked and most important thing that we need to make sure people learn the truth about the Catholic Church, and that's their doctrine of salvation. This is from Catholic.com again, okay? Catholic.com. The Council of Trent describes the process of salvation. Now, is salvation a process? I thought once we're saved forever. That's what the Bible says. Trent describes the process of salvation from sin in the case of an adult with great minuteness. It begins with the grace of God, which touches a sinner's heart and calls him to repentance. This grace cannot be merited. It proceeds solely from the love and mercy of God. Many may receive or reject this inspiration of God. He may turn to God or remain in sin. Grace does not constrain man's free will. Now, this doctrine is a lie out of the pit of hell, and anybody who believes the words that I just read to you will go to hell. Any person that believes that. Number one, salvation is not a process. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And this verse is, of course, changed in the Catholic Bibles, and this church, this verse is also changed in the NIV. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know, the King James Bible, it's very important that we have the King James Bible because it has the exact words of God. And people think that the modern versions, all they do is change the these and the thous and that it's not that big of a deal. But just taking one letter off the word saved and, and making it being saved, or obviously, I messed that up. Anyways, if you say being saved instead of saved, that's a huge difference. Because they say that salvation is a process, but the Bible teaches that salvation is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not you will start your process of being saved. You will be saved when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, number two, salvation doesn't begin with grace. Salvation is only by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, everyone knows it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, oh, you believe in cheap grace. No, I believe in free grace. Yeah, but you know, it's not cheap to Jesus Christ. It wasn't cheap to the Son of God, who was beaten, who was whipped, whose face was marred more than any man, who had the crown of thorns placed on his head, who bled on the cross, who was given the vinegar to drink, who had his side pierced, who was buried, who went to hell for 3 days, and burn in hell for 3 days for our sins and rose from the dead. There's nothing cheap about that. But you know what's cheap? Saying that you can confess your sins to a pedophile and that's going to get you to heaven. That's cheap. That's cheap work is what that is. It's not cheap grace, it's cheap work. And you know what? I don't believe in cheap grace. I believe in free grace. That was very expensive for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes me thankful for my salvation that, you know, I was never good enough to get to heaven. I never will be good enough. I fail every day of my life. But thank God Jesus loved me enough to do the hard part for me. And Jesus gets the glory when you say it's by his work, not by mine. But with the Catholic Church, who gets the glory? Themselves. The Pope. The bishops. The evil, wicked men of this religion that are damning souls to hell. They say salvation is a call for repentance, but not repentance from sin. I'll read for you Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I believe repentance is necessary for salvation, but not in the way that the Catholic Church means it. I believe that you have to repent from unbelief or repent in trusting your own works to take you to heaven to solely believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to get to heaven. I believe you have to repent from whatever false religion you believe in. I think you have to repent from the idol that you think is God that's going to take you to heaven, and you have to turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Not by giving over your life, not by going to church. And people like to call us a cult. Now, the Catholic Church is the biggest cult in the world because they follow a man. They follow the Pope, who they think is God on earth. You know what? You can call us a cult all you want, but here's our teaching on salvation. You never have to walk through these doors a day in your life. You never have to open this book a day in your life. You never have to get on your knees and pray to God one time. Well, you have to pray one time to ask him to save you. But you never have to have this relationship with God to get to heaven. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So call us a cult all you want, but I don't think anyone ever has to come in here to get to heaven. Is that what the Catholic Church teaches? No. They're a cult. And lastly, they say, many may turn to God in faith or remain under God's wrath and unbelief. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You know, the Catholic Church says, you may either turn to God or you can remain under God's wrath. And when they say turn to God, they mean by your works. But the truth of the matter is you could either believe on the Son of God, you could either believe on Jesus Christ and give all your faith to him and not trust it all in yourself, or you cannot believe and God's wrath will abide on you. Not because of your works, but because of your unbelief. Every single, you say, you know, there's a lot of good people that are going to go to hell who lived a good life as according to the world's standards, but they don't believe in the Son of God. They have the wrath of God abiding on them for eternity. Okay? In conclusion here, why is God's wrath on the Catholic whore? Well, because it set up its leadership in the place of God. It's taken God's power, God's position, God's priesthood. They keep harboring pedophiles, rapists, perverts, you know, the most wicked people. You know, they're just harboring these people and letting children get abused. Why? Because the Catholic Church teaches doctrines of devils, that you have to abstain from marriage and abstain from meats. You know, they worship the Queen of Heaven, Mary, which is not the Mary that you read about in the Bible. It's a false god is who it is. It's a demon. They disobey the Bible and they make long repetitive prayers. They baptize babies. They disobey Bible's instructions for all baptisms. And you know, like I said, it's impossible to preach about everything that's wrong about the Catholic Church. It's impossible to preach about all of it in one sermon. It is literally impossible, you know, because they drink alcohol in mass. When the Bible says not even to look on the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, the Bible says not to even look at it, yet the Catholic Church takes wine during their communion and drinks wine. You know, when the Bible gives its communion, the Bible gives its warning about taking communion unworthily, it says, whosoever eateth and drinketh thereof unworthily, eateth and drinketh to himself damnation. And you read about the Old Testament, God killed people for drinking alcohol in the assembly of the Lord. And churches today think it's no big deal to drink literal alcohol during communion. You're eating and drinking to yourself damnation. Who cares what you think about it? That's what the Bible says. I don't care about your opinion on alcohol. That's what the Bible says. And most importantly, God's wrath is on the Catholic Church today because they have untold trillions of souls, on the blood of those souls on their hands, and the untold millions of people that they have murdered and martyred throughout all history, Christians that just believe the Bible, that Catholics have murdered. And not only that, the souls that are being damned to eternal punishment and eternal hell because of the lies that spew out of the Catholic Church. And how do we fight this demonic religion? Well, number one, we fight it with the sword of the Spirit by teaching Christians and saved people what the Catholic Church really is about, by showing people God's Word and how everything that the Catholic Church believes is of Satan and is not according to God's Word. And we have to preach people the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll read for you the last verse here. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, and that poor woman yesterday, I didn't get to preach her the gospel, but when she said, you know, I said, what do you have to do to get to heaven? She says, not sin. That poor woman who has no rest for her soul, that the poor people in the Catholic Church who've been, you know, put heavy burdens on them that they can't bear, when the Catholic priest won't lift one of his little fingers to do the same thing. These poor people that have to live in fear their whole life of, oh, I didn't confess that one really dark sin to the priest. I got to confess it before I die or I'm going to hell. Those poor people that live their entire life in bondage. And then those poor people that never accept Jesus, the true gospel, those poor people burn in hell forever. Whether the Pope wants to say that that's a real place or not, these souls are going to burn in hell forever. And we have got to preach them the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, God. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your unspeakable gift of salvation, that you truly have set us free and that you truly have given us rest, God. Just pray that you would give us real love for the people in our community, that we go out and preach your word and preach them the truth and help them to get saved, God. And I pray that churches would get bold and preach the truth about all manner of wicked religions, God. I pray that you would help us to stop the mouths of these false prophets and of this Pope, God. And I pray that you would help us to get as many people saved as possible before they have to face the same end as him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.